Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles podcast with Dave and Chris, and we're coming at you today from our usual continents apart. So I am yes, coming to you at the from the Grand Hotel Zvon in České Budějovice, Czech Republic today. And Chris is in his usual perch in Chicago. There's been a lot of news lately, including a big scoop that I'll tell you about in a second. But there's been a lot of news about rumors, what's going to come out again. We know last year we had the big Sgt. Pepper set that was had a lot more than a lot of people expected. And this year we've heard rumors of a big White Album set. And so this got Chris and I thinking about, you know, what are some of our wishes for future Beatle releases and solo releases as well? I mean, we've got the McCartney series that keeps coming out. We've got, well, George, not much from George. We'll get into that. But John had the John Lennon anthology. So, you know,
had that vinyl box set come out. It was sort of like underwhelming a little bit.
Yeah, sort of like we're kind of piecemealing it here. We can never get all the big goods. So that's why, and Chris doesn't know this, but this is hot off the press news here. But it kind of sets up our discussion today. And it says, this is from the Beatlefan Facebook page. It says, sources tell Beatlefan Wildlife and Red Rose Speedway are in the works for the next McCartney archive reissue scheduled for this fall. No official confirmation on that yet. In the meantime, an announcement of the release date of McCartney's new album is rumored to be coming in the next month or so. And an additional concert dates, besides the recently announced Austin City Limits Festival, are also considered very likely.
Oh, yeah, I did see he was at Austin City Limits. I was thinking about maybe going to that.
Yeah,
Awesome.
So I don't know if
that's great. That's triple great news for for Paul fans. So
well, especially because those albums we joked on one of our programs recently with McCartney when you all the listeners, all of you guys, told us your favorite tunes and for defining McCartney, and we were saying, well, here's the 1993 remastered
version of My Love. 1993.
Yeah. So here, that might be some good news on that front. But there's, as we said, a lot of other releases that we've been waiting for, and that if we were in charge of Apple, we could probably have quite a few ideas. And so that's what we're going to talk about today.
So obviously the big one is the Beatles White Album set, and I also saw on Instagram, I follow Giles Martin on Instagram, and he had a picture of Abbey Road and was a console and was like getting back to work. Everybody was like, ooh, White Album question mark, that kind of stuff. So something's going on there. So we're not going to talk extensively about how badly we want the White Album to come out.
Exactly.
Because we obviously do. I'd like to start with something that came out last year. I think you and I both saw in theaters.
Yes.
And we saw this in theaters, but there hasn't been an official release of it.
That's right. So we went to the Ron Howard film 8 Days a Week, and then at the end, if you went to the theater, you were treated to a full cleaned-up version of the Beatles at Shea Stadium, which was originally a TV special, and it was great. I think everybody was excited. At least in Kansas City, the audience was really excited and clapping and singing along, and it looked terrific. And then we're all excited because, oh, good, the DVD's coming out. They're talking about extra stuff. There's going to be unreleased things. No Shea Stadium. And not there. And some people had said, well, that's because they're waiting to put it out on its own, because then it can be its own release and they can, make money probably off it differently. Maybe there's rights problems with the legal stuff. I mean, I don't know. But that really, it's one of the best filmed Beatles concerts, and it also it really gives you the atmosphere, even though the music we know was later re-recorded and overdubbed. But the filming of the girl screaming and fainting and running on the stage.
Yeah, and the cops coming to help her out.
All that stuff is just so great.
So I found it very moving, too. Mm-hmm. Like, very, you know, I was having I don't know about you, but I was having a real emotional reaction there.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't dancing and singing along like some people in the
off theater. Off key, like the lady next to me was, but that's a different story. Yeah. but yeah, that just seems like a really obvious one, especially because we know it's done. It's not like they have to take years to clean up the footage and go through the whole process because we saw it already. So that's something that is just waiting to be put out. So that's certainly on both of our lists.
Well, one that's on my list is kind of similar to that, but more expansive than that, which is obviously we all want the Let It Be movie.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. We've all seen it on a grainy copy of a copy of a VHS tape.
Yep.
You know, why not package it? And I think my guess is we're going to be waiting exactly 2 years for this.
Mm-hmm.
Because why not package it with a Get Back / Let It Be, one of these big giant Giles Martin redo. First off, the Let It Be album is the least precious of like, oh, you better not mess this up, right?
Right.
Because to some extent, everybody feels like it's already messed up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they totally botched it with Let It Be Naked, right? It didn't. Yeah. I mean, Let It Be Naked's all right. Some people prefer it to the other to Let It Be. I sort of do. You sort of feel the other way, probably.
Mm-hmm.
From we've talked about.
Yeah.
But it'd be really welcome. I mean, you get a deluxe, you get the Giles Martin bit, right? You get the original Let It Be. You get a disc of all the best jams and the covers and that stuff. So you can go through these. And all of this is on film and with high grade sound recording somewhere.
Yeah.
That you can go through and cherry pick out of a full day's worth of terrible jams, a couple of choice bits, right?
Yeah.
And we've all heard all these on bootlegs.
Yeah, or too. YouTube has a lot of them too.
YouTube has them. So let's play a little bit. Here's one that would be awesome to hear in a real cleaned up, great way, which is the extended version of Dig It.
Yeah, so a little Dig It from the Let It Be sessions, the extended version. And, you know, I think the movie Let It Be is certainly one of the most wanted things. But what's weird to me is this anniversary thing just started last year. If we are really waiting for each now, you know, we have the White Album and then Abbey Road and then Let It Be, Well, what about the earlier albums? What happened to Rubber Soul and Revolver and the rest of them?
Yeah.
It seems kind of
weird.
Yeah,
they missed the boat a little bit on some of that, but I think that they, it's like, oh, well, we actually did one right.
Yeah, that's true. Let's keep it going. Yeah.
Like, when they did Let It Be Naked, they had the right idea, sort of, but they just didn't have the concept yet to, like, well, let's really go through and really clean up a lot of stuff and give Giles Martin the permission to kind of, like, redo a mix of the album and put the original album still on there for you, but you get a new mix, and you get a bunch of great bonus tracks. I feel like they did it perfectly with Sgt. Pepper.
Yeah.
So another, maybe we will get all the older ones. I don't know.
Yeah, that's, who knows. Yeah.
Well, it'd be nice. And from those sessions, there's a bunch of Abbey Road stuff. So that's, I wonder if that stuff would be pulled and put on an Abbey Road.
Yeah.
I would imagine there's a definite possibility of an Abbey Road thing coming out too. So
yeah,
I wonder which would come out first, though.
Like, oh, that's true. Are we going by date of release or date of recording? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So
who knows? But yeah, definitely some Let It Be package. I think we definitely want and need.
Yeah, there's another possibility for a Beatles thing, which I'm gonna call Anthology 4. It could be with a video anthology as well, where you just like the TV special, and go through with newer interviews, with just sort of going through some of the stuff they didn't touch on in the video anthology. But anthology 1, 2, and 3 were good, but there's a lot of leftover stuff, and Giles Martin's got that way of cleaning up the live recordings now.
Mm-hmm.
So you could get maybe some of the other tracks from Budokan, but they're cleaned up. And they've even found more stuff recently since the anthology. I mean, it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
And you heard about this track, It's For You. It's a song that Paul wrote and gave to Cilla Black. And then when they were going through her stuff, they found it. And so there's a little snippet of it I'll play here, but there's an acetate recording of it that they could clean up and release. So let's hear a little of that.
It's for you to take one. I'd say someday I'm bound to give my heart away. If I do, it's for you, love.
So that's not much there to, online to hear of that. So let's hear a full version of that. You know, let's get a cleaned up full version of that.
Yeah.
Let's get maybe this would be a place to put that Carnival of Light. Heard about. There's you know, which Paul said he wants to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just a whole bunch of stuff that we didn't get in the anthology that wouldn't necessarily be appropriate for, like, the white, like a 27-minute jam of this or that. So maybe an anthology 4 would be fun.
Sort of an odds and sods, if you will.
Yeah.
To quote The Who. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I think that would be good. And there's certainly some other things that keep popping up or that they keep finding.
And then the last Beatles thing I want, just and this is just personal, is I missed the boat and I never bought that mono vinyl box.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want a repress of that.
Yeah. You don't want to pay.
Just give me a repress.
You don't want to pay like $800 for it? Or...
Yeah. I'm looking for one online. It's like, damn it.
Yeah.
I blew it.
Yeah. I know.
Well, one of our listeners, and forgive me because I didn't write the listeners down, was saying, guys, you should do an episode on cold cuts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was from a friend of the show, Sean.
Yes. So cold cuts, for those of you who don't know, was sort of like a best unreleased Paul album that he was, like, putting together to, like, put out. as a release around, I don't know when,
79, couple times. 80? Yeah, a couple times
and then they and then they kind of revisited it and they were like, no, let's not do it.
Yep.
So how about a 4-disc Cold Cuts, which includes all the stuff that was going to go on the original Cold Cuts, and then maybe all the stuff that didn't make it from this abandoned Return to Pepperland, which we have played some jokingly played a couple, like Atlantic Ocean, a couple of those tracks. Yeah. But it would still be great to get all that stuff, all this unreleased Paul stuff. Let's play a track that would have been on there called Same Time Next Year.
Must we wait another year for the celebration, dear? If we do, we'll hold it here. Same time next year. I'll be here the same as ever, maybe wearing something else. But nothing changes. Nothing changes. Still, to me, you look the same as when I forgot your name. Lovers in a lover's game. Same time next year.
I always like the unusual vocal harmonies on that track that we just heard at the end there. Very unusual, not the typical intervals that you hear. Very catchy song, and especially the fact that Paul has tried to release this album, or people have suggested it several times, and he rejiggered the list of tunes, and yet it's still not officially out, is kind of weird. But I'll have to ask you a broader question, though.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with, I mean, the Beatles stuff is final. They're not. They can't record anymore. Paul is still alive and still working, and he's also had, since the Beatles broke up, 40 plus years now of material, and there's so much stuff. How do you even go about deciding? Cold Cuts was easy because that was actually kind of curated, but the rest of the stuff is just, how do you even sift through everything?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. And maybe, honestly, I mean, they're probably not ever going to say this aloud, but they might be waiting for Paul to pass away to kind of release some of this stuff, you know, that's like older type material, because he's still got the new stuff coming out. And he's also got these, I mean, some of it we're getting in these, you know, deluxe reissues. Mm-hmm. But it would be nice to have a collection. I think when we got Pure McCartney, we were all like, why isn't this
exactly
the Cold Cuts, you know, because that would be better. So
can you think of other artists who are kind of similar, who've done things that we're asking for? I mean, I can think of Bruce Springsteen, who has put out a ton of stuff. And continues to put out live shows from the 70s. And
The best example is Bob Dylan.
Yes, that's Bob Dylan, true. That's a great
every
one.
Every year or so, you get a official bootleg.
Yes, that's true.
Of some sort. And that perfect segue, Dave. Mm-hmm. Great job. Perfect segue to my next suggestion, which is, let's get some old Paul concerts.
Yeah.
Particularly, we've gotten official releases, and I'll play you an official release from Live in Glasgow 79. Coming up, that's the one everybody knows, but when they released McCartney, they had three tracks on there. They had Maybe I'm Amazed, Every Night.
Mm-hmm.
And let's play a little Hot as Sun from Live in Glasgow 79.
Ooh.
Thank you.
So that, I mean, there's been a bootleg of that for years, but under the title Last Flight.
Yes, that's the bootleg.
But in the re-release of McCartney, we got three cleaned up, awesome sounding tracks of it. Why not have the whole show start to finish
as its own
thing? We've been getting these record store day releases of concerts and things like that for David Bowie every year now.
Yeah.
There was just one called Welcome to the Blackout, and it was just a 1978 show start to finish. So how about getting some Paul McCartney and Wings shows, some I mean, honestly, you know, any of the other Beatles concerts we could get clean versions of too.
I think I wonder if it's kind of an old, it's because that Apple is kind of a legacy type of company, and they want to have like full control and do a package and make it a huge production instead of like Springsteen or Bowie or Dylan, or they just kind of put it out. You can, you know, download the recording or listen to it on streaming or whatever. You don't have to go through this laborious process of packaging and everything. Just get the music out.
I also had one other kind of related idea for Paul, which is, how about these sound checks?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of bootleg kicking around, and a couple, we'll go out with one of these tracks, one of our favorites to laugh at from Paula's Live, see where I'm going with that.
Yes.
But we on Paula's Live, we got a couple of these sound check things. I may have purchased a big bootleg back in the day, which had just all of these like cool sound check songs.
Mm-hmm.
He plays and they're getting recorded. We know getting recorded. So how about a big sound check vault kind of box set? Or individual releases or something of all these sound check songs.
That's a great idea, especially because a lot of those songs are not ones that he does in concert. They're just kind of warm-up tunes or jamming tunes or things that are fun because he has to go play the piano, then he has to go play acoustic, then he's going to get on electric and jam, and it's very loose.
So they do like Hope of Deliverance or something that they're not going to play, and it's like, oh, and you get these fan-like phone things of him playing Hope of Deliverance, and you're like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
But just because of the quality of it, but if they're getting recorded, let's get some of these.
Yeah.
It would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much McCartney stuff out there, and you can get a lot of it through various means, but let's you know, it'd be nice to have it done right, I think, and that especially though you picked a couple of really good, not that difficult things to put together. Don't have to dig too hard to find those concerts or sound checks. They've already, you know, they're there. So
yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. Maybe in the meantime, let's hope that Red Rose Speedway and Wildlife will kind of tide you over for for the meantime.
What do you think the possibility of you listening to the Botus disc of Wildlife a whole bunch of times is going to be?
Pretty slim.
Pretty slim.
The only thing I can think of that would be nice is if they maybe released one of the live. Or some live stuff from those like the early college tour dates that they did, Wings, that configuration of Wings in early 72, and that might be cool to get some of that stuff, but the when they performed those tunes.
Well, let's move on to, let's do George next.
Okay.
Dave, what's the biggest George thing that you want?
I want early takes 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... and 10, because of all the Beatles, and we've talked about this before, George has been the stingiest, or his executors have been the stingiest about giving unreleased material out. When they redid the remastered CDs, they all had maybe one or two tunes, sometimes just one, and sometimes they were odd ones, like. On 33 and a Third, they had a song that wasn't even on the album. It was recorded later.
There's an article online here on musicradar.com from back in 2012 when the George Harrison documentary came out, the Martin Scorsese documentary, an interview with Giles Martin. Uh-huh. And Giles is they ask him the question, how much material is there in George's home library? And here's what he says. He was a very diligent archivist. He seems to have kept just about everything. The engineer I most regularly work with, Paul Hicks, is a good friend of George's son, Danny. They were neighbors in Henley as kids, so a lot more familiar with Friar Park than I was. It's essentially a vault. The word library doesn't do it justice, and it's in pretty good order. Olivia used to work for George when he was running Dark Horse Records, so everything is relatively well cataloged. It's not as if it's a room full of unmarked or untaped boxes. We went through the stuff marked demos first, a lot of different reels, half inches, quarter inches, even cassettes. Then we made an Excel sheet and wrote down song titles, keys, and tempos. We'd also add comments about whether the tapes were any good or not. That's not me being a pompous arse, but some of them were just things George had taped off the radio for some reason. Also, you'd occasionally come across, for example, a tape mark, Ringo, Klaus, George, Eric, thinking it would be something great, and then it'd just be them tuning up and chatting for a half an hour. It's a bit like panning for gold. There was the odd day where we waited through boxes for 10 hours, and when Olivia came in to see what we'd found, I had nothing to play her. Mm. It's a funny process. You can spend a lot of time going round and round in humdrum circles. There'd be these huge perks where you'd found something great. Now, obviously, there's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, clearly.
From what he's saying. So can we please get some of it? I mean, it's sort of out there. Here's one from an early take that's out there on YouTube. And this is an early take of you.
It's my Billy Eckstein voice. Don't need a mic, man. You can hear him at the back of the stalls above the band. Okay. One, two, and one, two, three.
So, you know, not great quality there.
Yeah.
So, oh, man.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's like the Holy Grail. It's like, oh, man, let's dig into them tapes.
Well, and especially that that version was recorded during the All Things Must Pass sessions. And so that's, anybody who knows anything about George's bootleg library knows that there's a lot of All Things Must Pass material out there that one could put into an alternate version, or we heard some of the demos on Early Takes Volume 1 and some of the versions, but plenty more where that came from. And again, you just kind of wonder, is it maybe they're just thinking, they're trying to think for George and then he wouldn't be happy with that stuff? I don't know. The carefulness with it, you can look at it two ways, either preserving and trying to curate the person's work in a certain way, or just stingy. I don't know. I guess there's two ways to look at it.
Yeah. Another thing, we've talked about this a few times on this show, so we won't go into it too long here, but how about a George 1974 concert release?
We talked about that even, and because there's that great video on YouTube of George rocking the overalls and the mustache, you know.
Yeah, and there was a couple clips of that there, and there are other places you can get some of it, including here's from YouTube, from George Harrison live at Largo 1974 with a little Harry's on Tour. Let's hear some Harry's on Tour Express.
sounds really tight. Really be a great thing to put out there. I know that his voice wasn't all that good during those tours, but still, you know, the band is great, and he's got a lot of energy. I think it would still be worth hearing. I think a lot of people would enjoy that.
Yeah. I agree. So that's my biggest concert wish. There's not much more. That's not much more concerts to dig into with George, unfortunately.
No.
There is one other thing out there now. Whether or not we really want a big release of this, I don't know. But
the Gontropo Deluxe Super Set.
Close. But there was an original version of Somewhere in England.
Yes, that's right.
That George presented to Warner Brothers, and they were like, what's this? There's no hits. Get rid of this. And then he went back to the studio. Shortly as he went back to the studio, John was killed, and so he wrote all those years ago, the John Tribute. But there were a few songs that were on that didn't get placed anywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe they've trickled out here and there over the years. Mm-hmm. One of which, but the original track listing you can see online, so many of us have heard the original original version, and it is a little, I don't know, wonky. But it'd be nice to get a release of it, maybe in a Somewhere in England double disc release where you get both albums. Yeah. So let's hear a little Lay His Head from the original Somewhere in England.
I know that I seem strange to you sometimes. Who is it in here you have often thought? What can I tell you that you don't know already? It's even the times like this will roll. Shoulder to lean on, I'll make it through. And over and over, I feel for you.
There were four, at least four tunes that were cut, and that was one of those four. And they're pretty good tunes, actually. And it's again, I think like you said, they've trickled out and kind of limited edition releases and some weird expensive packages and things like books that came out on a 45 or something.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it would be really, really great to get some of that stuff. So I think we're clamoring for some George.
They also rejected that ridiculous looking original album cover. Yeah. Where the back of his head is like the shape of England.
Yes.
Like, very questionable. I agree with them there that they should have rejected that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, Dave, let's move on to John Lennon.
Yeah. So, a lot of Lennon stuff, in fact, almost everything, I believe, came out with the Lost Lennon tapes. That was the big radio series back in the 80s and early 90s. And the course bootlegs were made of that, the whole series, so you could find a lot of that material. But again, who has the time, or who wants to sift through all these hours of thing, all this music? You know, it's easier for most fans if you can make a nice package of a theme or kind of an idea surrounding some unreleased material. So a lot of John's Dakota songs, so these were the ones that were recorded usually just him and the piano or him and the guitar in the Dakota from 1966 to 80. Some of them trickled out also on the John Lennon anthologies and different releases, but there's a great bootleg that I remember getting. It was basically called the Dakota Tapes. And some of the material we've heard, like Real Love and Grow Old With Me, things like that. But there are some real good gems on there that could be made into a nice package. And so one of them we want to play is a song called Memories.
Yeah, I mean, a Dakota Tapes release would be just awesome. You know, I mean, a lot of this stuff is like, come on, let's
yeah.
Like that one right there is like, man, that's pretty good.
It is.
Just on its own.
I would say that Yoko has done a really, really good job overall getting John's stuff out much more than the others. So it wouldn't take too much work to put something like that together.
You mentioned something. Would there be a way to have a massive Fish and a couple other groups have these online streaming kind of like services,
mm-hmm.
where you like pay a certain amount and then you get like the full access to a big vault of stuff?
Yeah, Wilco does too.
Wilco does too.
Yep.
Could we get one of those with the 218 one-hour episodes and 1 3-hour premiere episode of The Lost Lennon Tapes with Elliot Mintz? Let's hear a little bit of just Elliot Mintz. Because I don't know if you, did you hear these when you were younger?
I did, Dave? Yeah. I listened to a lot. They were always on Sunday morning or Saturday morning on, I want to say The Loop a station that doesn't exist anymore in Chicago, probably.
They were awesome.
Yes, like, they were.
Whenever I heard them, they were awesome. And I'd hear these things that you'd only hear then and
yes,
never again.
Exactly.
Until, you know, more recently when you'd had YouTube to, mm-hmm. Oh, I wonder if there's that John Lennon version of the Ringo song, I'm the Greatest.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Like, oh, it sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. But you'd only hear it then and you'd never hear it again.
Nope.
And if you hadn't recorded it on cassette,
yep.
You know, well, all these have to exist because they were radio broadcasts, right?
That's right.
So they're somewhere, but I'm sure that there's multiple rights issues with Westwood One and mm-hmm. Do you got to get Elliot Mintz to sign off on it? You
know? Yeah.
But let's hear a little fragment of Elliot Mintz, who I thought did an excellent job
for Strawberry Fields Forever. But before we head back to Men Love Avenue in the early 50s, let's listen to this unreleased song from one of John's work tapes. It's a tune he and Yoko were considering for a stage production they were planning, which carried the working title, The Ballad of John and Yoko.
Yeah, so it was like, it was always so dramatic.
Yeah,
setting up
what's coming
this
next.
This awesome next thing. It's like, oh man, we're gonna get a version of this we've never heard. So.
Yeah.
So that would be awesome to get. I mean, that's probably the longest shot of all of these, unfortunately. But
probably.
It's like they're there. They're somewhere there.
I know.
You know?
I know.
And I'm sure people have found bootleg copies of a lot of these. But maybe they were like orders to destroy the records of the tapes after they've been played on radio. But
yeah. No, again, that seems like a really, especially because it's been such a long time since they've been heard. And a new generation of fans is learning about Lennon, so to get the full picture, it would be great.
One last one I'd like. We've heard of the Paul McCartney archive series.
Mm-hmm.
How about the John Lennon archive series? Similar to the McCartney 2 and 4 discers with maybe a video for each and book releases. You know, there were videos for a lot of the John stuff, outtakes and the best early take outtake of this or that. Let's hear a little of a great early take of Crippled Inside.
It's really good stuff, especially when that tune has George on it, and great group. So let's get some more of that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we got Anthology and we got some of these, you know, some of these other, that was before this sort of new model of like, like Zeppelin released all their albums and they had a second disc of all like alternate takes and songs that were recorded, but by album. You know, it's sort of like here's another song that we recorded during the Presence era and didn't release. So
instead of just a career spanning, you know, from beginning to end kind of thing. Yeah.
So I'd like, you know, these. I mean, that's the best thing you can say about these Paul archive series is they, you know, particularly like the best ones have been like. The Tug of War and the
more recent ones, I'd say Flowers in the Dirt and
they're getting better about like let's give them what they want, give them as much as possible. So now neither of us had any Ringo on there, but that's because we just talked about how badly both of us want the deluxe version of Old Way.
How about a U.S. release of Old Way?
We'll start with that.
Yeah.
And he's been. I think he knows that he doesn't have much of the vaults.
Yeah.
and he's been releasing these on vinyl, and you know, so we just got a couple vinyl releases. So maybe just I guess our wish list is like keep it up, keep the vinyl releases coming for the guys who want it.
Yeah, exactly.
Champagne gold release of
Bad Boy.
So,
yeah. So you can see it's a lot of things could still, you know. So then the question is, you know, as we kind of wrap it up, is there still a market? I mean, we're the diehards, people listening to our show are the diehards who are really into this and definite market. But is there a big enough market to put some of the stuff out? I mean, let me ask about the David Bowie stuff that's come out that you were talking about with the live concerts and things. Do you think they're doing it because of, you know, they want to get this out there, or is it their profit motive, or what do you think is behind it?
Maybe a little of both, but I think like these, there's a way to do it. Like, for instance, the Bowie record store day releases are limited in number, like 5,000 copies.
Right.
They sell out like nothing.
Of course. Like, first things to go.
I didn't even bother to go to record store day because there's a line for 4 hours before mm-hmm. for people who just desperately want that release.
Yeah.
And you can find them on eBay a couple days later for like $200 and stuff.
Wow.
So there is definitely a market for these, and you know, if there was no market for these Paul deluxe versions, and we're getting Paul colored vinyls,
yes,
that are selling, they're selling out.
We're getting Thrillington released on record, yeah,
and they're selling out because it's like the only ones I've consistently found copies of Pipes of Peace everywhere I go.
Really.
Still on color, both the color and the two-disc mm-hmm. bonus track version.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw it somewhere yesterday for $19. I was like, should I get it? And I was like, no. Why bother?
Yeah.
But yeah, of course there's a market for all of this. I think maybe they're being careful, maybe a little too careful mm-hmm. in the case of John and George, definitely in the case of George, it's like, get in there, get these while you guys are still like people who care are still alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get these, because I don't know, maybe 20 years from now, 30 years from now, will there still be a market for it? I don't know.
Yeah. And like you said, the whole model has changed. It's not like there's anticipation as much for the product as much as there is the music. And so I think it just finally, I think certain artists just said, let's just get it out there. Let's just put everything out there. We'll put a fee if they want to download things, but you know, we'll make it available and it'll get rid of the bootleggers and let's do it the way we want to. It'll sound better. We can, you know, control it better than just having the fifth generation, let it be awful DVD grainy. Yeah. Instead, let's just put it out there and we'll do it right and give them what they want.
Yeah, it might be a niche market.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's today's model of everything.
Yeah.
This podcast.
Yeah.
Is a niche. This podcast is at over 100 episodes of this podcast for the Beatle diehard fan or the Beatle novice fan who wants to become a diehard fan.
Yeah, people want to learn more about these topics or things that they are interested in that they've heard about. Exactly.
I listen to a podcast which has multiple episodes every week about the TV show Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that's the model now. It's like people little fandom, little crowds of fans that like one thing, and they want as much as they can get about the one thing that they like, and I think it's great.
Yeah,
obviously, because we're doing this every week.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's very true. So we'd love to hear your ideas. If you think we forgot anything, or you want to take issue with any of our choices, but I think that at least those would be really good. What we propose would make a lot of our listeners happy, I think, and certainly would make us happy. So definitely a good start.
We're on Facebook. You can follow us. I've Got a Beatles podcast on Facebook. At I've Got a Beatles on Twitter.
And I've Got a Beatles podcast at hotmail.com if you want to email us.
But let's go out. This classic from Paul is Live, one of Dave's favorite tracks, Hotel in Benidorm.
Yeah, the hotel in Benidorm still.